Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and with me again is Dan. And on this week's show, we are speaking to one of the stars of British swimming at the European Championships and, of course, qualified for Tokyo 2021. Welcome to the podcast, Anna Hopkin. How are you doing, Anna?
Hey, I'm good. Nice to see you. Yeah, it's been another hard day training, I guess.
I think the first place we want to start off with is Europeans. It's easy enough for us to sit down and say to you, you had an amazing meet when you're tired. But as the swimmer yourself, what do you take away from a meet like that? Is it the medals or is it more the progress towards Tokyo?
Yeah, it's definitely a progression meet. Like, we went into it, at least I didn't have sort of major expectations about medals or times I was going to go. It was more about just practicing my races. Obviously, we've had limited opportunity to do that, so just knowing that my schedule was going to be pretty heavy, which is good preparation for the Olympics, which could also be quite heavy potentially with relays. So and then also practicing relays, which we obviously don't really get to do other than at major international meets. So I think that was really good for the team, but I think everyone maybe performed better than they expected. Probably partly just because it was the first international meet we've done in a while, and I think everyone kind of wanted to make a statement and make themselves known. And I was really happy with my performances, not just the times and the medals, but the way I swam the races and the way I progressed through each round. That's something I do struggle with sometimes, is getting faster through each round, and I did that for every race. So I kind of ticked a lot of boxes, and my coach had specific things she wanted me to work on, and I kind of nailed them every time. So I came away from it with a lot more confidence going towards Tokyo.
So even without the medal, it was a successful meet because you hit your personal goals, basically.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the medals were obviously amazing, and I don't think anyone expected us to dominate as much as we did in the relays. And I didn't even think about winning an individual medal. I guess I knew it was a possibility, but I also knew, you know, the field was so strong, and I knew it was going to be pretty close, and I didn't quite know where I was going to be sort of at that point in the season. So I had no expectations of winning a medal. And so when I saw that I'd got bronze, I was over the moon, really.
Well, speaking about the relays, what was it like being involved with them? Because we won 7 golds out of the 9 available. I imagine the British team were buzzing, completely buzzing.
Yeah, I think we all just went into it with sort of really high spirits. We had a really good bond between the team. And just from day one, we won a bunch of medals. And obviously, we got our first relay gold in the women's 4x1 free. So I think that just kind of got the momentum going straight away. And everyone just carried that on, really. And especially with having, you know, younger swimmers there in the heats, everyone just wanted to be part of a relay, whether it was in a heat or a final. So everyone kind of did their job and did their best in the relays, because we knew that we could win gold in every one, and we wanted to.
Now, something we said a lot during our kind of live stream coverage was, you're trained through this meet, you're racing tired. Now, for people who don't know, you trained out in America for a little while. So yeah. Did training in America prepare you for racing tired? Because I know they do a lot of meets over there compared to what we do in the UK.
Yeah, I think it did, actually. Like, we would have dual meets, which is just one team against one other team. And they'd be like every couple of weeks, sometimes every weekend. Sometimes we'd have 2 meets on a weekend. And you'd have, I guess it was like an arena league in a way, because it was kind of, you'd be doing 5 or 6 races in a 2-hour period. So we kind of got used to that very quickly. And obviously we couldn't afford to rest down for any of those, really. We only rested for the major meets. So I think it definitely did prepare me for this kind of situation. And also with relays as well, we would do relays at the start of the dual meets and at the end. So racing tired in relays when you still want to perform the best for your team, I think that really helped me a lot.
Do you think we should race more in this country? Because I just think we should. We spoke to Adam Peacey and he said that we should probably race, maybe not every weekend like the Americans do with like varsity or college versus college, but something along those lines where there's more competition, more race experience, not just for the elite side, but also the younger swimmers as well.
Yeah, I do. I think the more race opportunities you can get, the better. I guess with us in Britain, it's difficult to find other teams to race against. Like in America, because the college system is so huge, there's sort of ready-made teams there to go against each other. And also, I like the way in America you did the dual meets and you literally just wore like your training costume. You didn't do any priming. You did a warm-up. And you just kind of raced. There wasn't all this kind of major preparation or build up for it, which meant that you could kind of get there, race, leave, and you did that multiple weekends sort of in a row sometimes. Whereas I guess in Britain, the only competitions we really do are ones that we sort of prepare for in terms of suiting up, doing our priming, doing our kind of whatever nutritional tactics or whatever, which is great obviously for a major meet, that's what you would do, but it means that we just don't race as often because it's quite intense when we do. So I guess even like in team competitions, time trials type things, which actually we've probably done a bit more of this year just because we've not had the opportunity to go and race. So it is something that we could maybe learn a bit more from.
Does that kind of American system of racing every weekend take the pressure away from racing and kind of give you the enjoyment of swimming? So you're not worried about times whatsoever. It's just a bit of fun at the weekend. And I guess the biggest question I have is, does it get factored into your training? So does that race weekend become part of your training program, or does the training kind of ignore the fact that you're racing? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I guess, say if we're racing on a Saturday morning, then that is our kind of Saturday morning training, I guess, okay, which is a lot of stand-ups and we're warming up, swimming down, so getting some volume in. Sometimes we'd obviously have to travel and that would be a whole weekend of racing, which we'd usually get like Monday morning off to make up for the fact that we raced on Sunday. So I guess it's a bit of both. When we do have racing, we use it as a sort of training session in terms of kind of like doing stand-ups in training. But when you have to travel and race a lot and then get back into training on a Monday, it is quite draining sometimes.
I imagine the more you race, the more you can play around with tactics. And I kind of want to ask you, what is the ideal tactic for a 100 freestyle race? Is it to go flat out from the very beginning, or is it to save some energy for that back end speed, that second 50 meters? How do you sort of see it?
I guess for me now, I think any 100 meter swimmer will talk about easy speed down the first 50, which is kind of crucial, really. You don't want to go all out down the first 50 and then have nothing left coming back. But you want to be as fast as you can with as little effort as possible, which sounds a little bit counterintuitive, but it's really finding that very precise balance, it's taken me quite a few years to really know that feeling. But the more I'm racing, the more I know down that first 50 kind of what pace I'm going. I can usually hit the pace I'm aiming for. And then obviously that gives you as much as you can left down the last 50. And you're always going to get to the last 15. It's going to hurt, but you kind of want to finish as strong as possible because people will pick you off at the last minute. So, I guess as a sort of 50-100 swimmer, I tend to go out quicker than some of the other fields, but that's just natural speed, really. Like, I don't want to hold back my speed because sometimes that takes more energy to do that.
Yeah.
And so sometimes that means I am coming back a little bit slower, but that's kind of just how it feels natural for me to swim it.
I was going to say, at Europeans, you didn't look like you were coming back slower. It was kind of back end speed, wasn't it? And what I find even more fascinating about that is you swim with a straight arm freestyle stroke, which takes an incredible amount of strength to do. And you very rarely see swimmers do it beyond the 50. So when did you realize that this was kind of the stroke for you, for your technique and your build, your power? When did it click for you that that was going to be your racing stroke, basically?
It's a bit of a weird one, actually, because I, when I got back into swimming when I was 17 and I was always a butterfly swimmer before that, so I hadn't done much freestyle. I definitely hadn't done much like 50 freestyle. And that's just kind of what naturally happened. I didn't really realize that's what I did until people started pointing it out sort of later on when I was sort of making teams and more people were watching me and sort of people started pointing it out to me. It's not really something I consciously decided to do, but thinking about it, I do tend to rely on my shoulder strength quite a lot. I have quite rangy shoulders, but they're also quite strong in extreme ranges, so that means I can maintain that straight arm stroke and I don't really notice it. Like, it's not my arms that kind of start dying or anything. And I think that's just because I have that good shoulder strength and I can get a lot of range at the front of my stroke. And I just find that it's a more powerful way for me to swim. It's just quite natural, really.
Is there a bit of hypermobility in your shoulders? Just thinking of it, is that what enables you to have that strength?
I think it might be, yeah. You know, there's obviously pros and cons to that. I do have to do a lot of sort of shoulder rehabbing to make sure that they're not sort of going too extreme ranges. But
my girlfriend's got it in her back, so she suffers from all sorts of back problems because of it. But at the same time, she's like super flexible. So yeah, the pros and cons from it kind of weigh each other out slightly.
Yeah, I guess it's just finding what works for you. And that's just something that I feel really comfortable with.
Do you do any specific drills that kind of go hand in hand with that freestyle technique? Because I just imagine that you'd be doing a lot of paddles and fin work.
Yeah, I do a lot of pull paddles, brought in some band work. And I guess the main thing I focus on is like distance per stroke, getting my stroke as long as I can so I can kind of pull through the full range I have.
Yeah.
And then I do quite a lot of straight arm drills, which I've brought in quite recently. Like, since I've become more aware of the fact that that's how I swim, it's kind of perfecting that and making sure I'm balanced on both sides. I think in the last sort of few years, my stroke's become a lot more balanced and a lot less sort of erratic. I think because I never really had that specific training as to like, this is how you're going to swim. I just kind of got from one end to the other as quick as possible, and it was very splashy and a bit messy. So although the basic technique is still there, I've definitely refined it and sort of prettied it up a bit, I guess.
So if you're doing a long aerobic set, do you still use that straight arm freestyle, or do you go back to sort of the high elbow recovery?
Yeah, for longer sets, I'll typically use like a higher elbow, just because sort of anything over 100 would be probably quite hard to sustain. But a lot of what I do in terms of the main sets is 50s and maybe 100s, a lot of sort of pull paddles and drill work and or short bursts and things, and all of that would be straight arm, and that kind of builds the endurance through my shoulders, which allows me to kind of cope with a full 100 of doing that.
I do find it amazing that you've kind of, you didn't even notice that you're doing that stroke technique.
It's baffling.
Because it works so well for you, and you see like the biggest guys in the world doing it for the 50 freestyle, and there's you cracking it out for 100, and it works so well. You said you had a bit of a hiatus from swimming in your teens and you came back at 17. What made you get back in the pool?
I got back sort of the year before I started at university, and I was training sort of a couple times a week before that, and I was doing a lot of other sports. So I was still strong and fit and everything. I just wasn't sort of swimming aerobically fit, really. But I wanted to go to Bath University anyway, and I guess I knew that they had a strong swim team, and I guess just the idea of being part of a team again and competing for the university and initially it was probably more of a social thing. Like I wanted to be part of a team at university. I didn't really have major expectations or aspirations for it, but I knew about books and I wanted to compete at books and start to get back into it. So that was kind of the main reason I then had a bit of a focus for the kind of year and a half leading up to uni. I just knew I needed to do a couple of competitions to put some times down because I hadn't competed in sort of 4 years. And so in order to get onto the team, I obviously needed to post some times and just see where I was at. So I guess that just gave me a goal, really. And then once I was there, it was just a different experience to what I'd had in swimming before and just kind of grew from there, really.
I think it's being part of a team, like you said, actually makes it more comfortable in the surroundings and stuff. And if you're swimming is kind of known as an individual sport, but I kind of disagree. It's all within the team. You all train together. You all go to the gym together. You go to the meets together. The only part that's individual is actually the race itself. In my head, I might be completely wrong with that.
But you just have to look at kind of the way Team GB were acting at Europeans. It wasn't one swimmer celebrating their success. Mm. You really, really noticed that the team were proud of where they are on the medal table. The team were proud of a gold medal. The team were proud of a PB. Mm. It's a really nice dynamic. And you sending that squad to Tokyo, it feels like a really cohesive team rather than just one swimmer performing in one event.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I've not been on the team sort of for ages. Like my first team was 2018, but it did feel like the most cohesive the team had been, really. And it was just, we were all just kind of bouncing off each other. And whenever someone succeeded, everyone, you know, was cheering when you got back to the prep area. Whenever someone got sent off to a race, everyone was cheering them on. And then if anyone did a bad swim, there was, you know, everyone was sort of supporting them and helping them bounce back and stuff. And there was obviously younger swimmers on the team and it was their first international competition at a senior level and everyone was supporting them. And if they swam in heats of relays, sort of sharing in their success of winning a medal and things. So it did just feel like a really sort of close-knit team. And I think that's really important when we're all going into Tokyo, when it is such a big competition. There is, I guess, pressure and expectation, but having a team that's going to support you no matter what is quite comforting, really.
Mm. Well, how exciting is it being qualified for your first Olympic Games? Have you ever been to Japan?
We had our holding camp in Japan before Worlds.
Yeah.
So managed to see a little bit of it. I'm sure I probably won't see much of it this summer either. Yeah, it's really exciting, especially because it's been delayed a year. I think last year I was in a really good place to try and qualify, and so to just get my head around the fact that it was going to be another year before I could try again and the potential sort of, you know, pressure that brings in terms of knowing I could have qualified last year and making sure I can qualify again this year. But so I guess it's a bit of relief and excitement going towards it now.
What's your personal aims for Tokyo then? Because the Europeans went so well. Do you start thinking about medals? Do you just think, let's have a good time out there? Let's help the team, like we said.
Yeah, I think the way I perform best is just to take any pressure and expectation off myself. And I think that's how it was at Europeans. I went out to each race just wanting to enjoy it and not sort of go in there scared or nervous or apprehensive. Obviously, there's always like a bit of nerves there, but I just went out to every race just wanting to make the most of the opportunity and enjoy it. And I guess the way I do that is I kind of like don't focus on the outcome, which we're often told a lot anyway, but just focusing on specific parts of the race and my race plan, because sometimes you can get out onto the block and everything just goes out the window. You forget everything you've learned and you just dive in and you just like, you don't do your race plan, and that's how things fall apart in a major competition. So to just focus on what you know and what you can control is the way that I kind of deal with it. So I'm kind of going to go into Tokyo with that mindset. Obviously it's the biggest stage I'll have ever raced on, so to try and make it seem like a lesser stage is quite hard. But but I guess my goals, I want to make it through the rounds, make into finals, and then like at Europeans, I qualified in sixth for the 100 and then came third. So I guess you just never know, really.
Yeah, they say that qualifying for the Olympics is actually the hardest part, and actually racing at the Olympics seems to be more of the easy part. So I don't know if that's true, because I haven't got to that stage, of course. But
I was going to say, we need to ask this question in like 3 months' time.
Yeah, we'll come back and ask it. Yeah, but do you feel less pressure racing at Tokyo than you did before trials, for example?
Potentially, I think going into trials, I was really nervous because I knew I had it in me to do the times I needed, but actually doing it is obviously another thing altogether. And I hadn't done a tapered meet in sort of over a year. I hadn't swum long course in like a year and a half or something at a tapered meet. So it was just the not knowing. And then once I'd done trials and I knew I could do those times, I just got so much confidence from that. And I think that showed going into Europeans. And I'm just going to use that confidence going into Tokyo and just go out there and enjoy it and just swim my own races and not worry about what's going on around me, not sort of worry about medals or anything. And I think that's how you produce your best performance anyway.
Yeah.
Do you use the relays that I think they might come earlier on in the meet for you? Do you use those to settle the nerves? Like Europeans, for example, do they build you into a meet nicely?
In some ways, yeah. I think we have the 4x100 free women's first, which will be a really good one to get going. Obviously, we'll have the heats of that to sort of get into the meet. And then the final, we obviously want to be at our best. I think you don't want to use it as a warm-up swim.
Just a warm-up, yeah.
Yeah.
All you can for the team. And I think we have some really good medal chances in the relays. So we do have to be at our best from day one. But obviously, you know, we can use the heat of the relay to kind of get into the meet and then sort of bounce on from that, really. But yeah, I think it could be quite a busy week with different individuals and relays. So I think it's getting a good first few races is quite important for confidence and momentum.
Nice. Well, Anna, it's been awesome talking to you. You've had a really interesting journey through swimming. So if you don't mind, we might ask you to give a bit of advice for maybe younger swimmers who are listening. Because you took some time away from competitive swimming at the ages of, 13 to 17?
Yeah.
What advice would you give for younger swimmers who are contemplating whether swimming's the right sport for them?
I would say, and this is probably something I wish I'd been better as when I did stop, is just being a bit more open with coaches and parents about what it is, you know, you may not be happy with or you're not enjoying. And I think coaches also need to be good at compromising and sort of being a bit flexible with, especially younger swimmers. Like, you've got so much going on in your life and there might be other sports you want to do or other commitments you have maybe around school. And I think that was part of the reason that I found it a bit too much, was because there was so much else that was going on. I wanted to do other sports. I wanted to focus on school as well. But at that point, it just felt like there was no option. It was either all or nothing, basically. Mm. You were either all in or you weren't. And so I guess I didn't really, I just said, like, that's it, I'm done. I didn't really sort of communicate it as well as maybe I wish I'd done in terms of trying to compromise a bit, maybe bringing my sessions down, replacing one of the swimming sessions with a gymnastics session, for example, which I think at that age, it's not going to compromise your swimming at all. It might actually benefit your swimming in a way. And I think it's also good mentally to have a break from swimming every single day and do something else. So I think probably just communicating and being open with it, and then obviously that works both ways with coaches being willing to kind of compromise or be flexible with it. So yeah, that's sort of, I think there is more potential there when you're young and you're sort of maybe going to peak at like sort of early 20s and you're sort of 12, 13, you've got so much time. There's no need to worry about I've got to do 9 sessions right now, because then you just have to maintain that for 10 years and that's quite hard.
Yeah, there's so many kids who slog it out from the age of 14 to 18. And by the time they're going off to university, they have no interest in racing again. I was one of those kids.
Yeah.
I was done. So
just like, yeah, like you out, said,
yeah, maybe bringing another sport into the training routine is a really interesting concept to kind of keep you mentally sharp. And I don't know. So you're not all invested in one at that age. It's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think it's going to compromise the swimming sort of, obviously at some point you do have to decide, I'm going to fully commit now, which might be like sort of mid to late teens maybe. But until that point, I think you obviously have to get your swimming aerobic volume in. But if you're also doing something like gymnastics, you get so much strength and flexibility from that, which was something I really benefited from. There's a lot of sort of benefits to other sports, I think.
Yeah, I think crossover sports is a good idea. I think it was Hannah Miley. She does rock climbing, or used to do rock climbing.
Oh, yeah.
And you can kind of like put it in together because it's almost like a half squat, isn't it, with each leg, and it's almost like a pull. So you can kind of like, it ties in a little bit. And it's like with the gymnastics you were saying, with the flexibility, which of course swimmers need. I think it's really interesting. I've got one more question on advice for you. So going back to your America sort of days, what advice would you give to a swimmer thinking of going out training to America?
I would say just do as much research as you can around what college you want to go to beforehand, because I think I was very lucky with how everything happened with me, and I got approached by my coach Neil, and he was British and he was a British Olympian, and he was a great coach, and he'd watched me swim and he made me feel really comfortable about going out there, and I went out for a visit. But what happens is when other universities know you're interested in going to America, you suddenly get bombarded with offers from people all over. And if you're in the UK, you don't necessarily know much about any of the colleges. You don't know where's a good place, whether what they're saying is true. They can often sell you the dream and then it's not quite what you think it is. So I think taking your time to really look into where you want to go, and if they really want you, they'll wait for you to make a decision. And if that means going out there to have a look, then that's what you've got to do. Because I think when there's so many universities sort of telling you to go to theirs, and they're saying you need to make a decision quickly, and then there's not enough time to actually go visit, then you don't actually know where you're going. So, and it's quite a big step to go out there not having visited before. So I think just taking the time and really doing a lot of research.
I imagine it's quite a daunting thing, especially when you're not quite sure whether to bite the bullet and then go. But I wish I kind of did it. I never really researched it enough, honestly. I just saw that Cardiff was my go-to, and I just went there. I was like, oh, it's only like an hour from away from Gloucester. But yeah.
Well, I had a lot of it for undergrad. I guess because I wasn't really swimming much at that point anyway, but I don't know if I would have really considered it at that point. I think once it came to the end of my undergrad, and then I had the offer to go out and do a master's, and it just seemed like such an easy transition. Like, I just went for it, really. I had nothing to lose. I think maybe when you're 17 and thinking about it and you're committing to 4 years, I was only committing to 2. It's a bit more of a, you need to make sure that you want to be there for 4 years. So, I guess that's maybe a different thing to what the situation I was in.
Definitely. Well, Anna, it's been awesome talking to you. Thank you for giving up your evening to speak to us a little bit about what I honestly think is the best swimming stroke in female swimming. I really do. I love a bit of straight arm freestyle myself, and it's so good to see you doing it. If you don't mind, we usually finish with some quick fire questions for our elite guests. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, that's fine.
So what is your favorite event?
I'm gonna say the 100 free.
Oh, interesting. I've always seen you as a 50 swimmer. I was so on a
50, 100%, and now I don't know. It's very close, but changing daily.
Since your swims at Europeans, your back end speed's been absolutely incredible. And I just thought I was on the fence so much. And now, yeah, the 100 meters makes complete sense.
Yeah, I think now I know how to swim it well. Mm. I don't go into it like just, oh my God, it's going to hurt so much. Now I'm gonna swim this well.
Who is your swimming idol?
I don't know, really. I guess Simone Manuel, largely because she just brings out the performance she needs at the major competition, which is, I guess, what I aspire to do. It comes to, like, the finals at Worlds multiple times where she's beaten the world record holder and the current world champion or the current Olympic champion. And if she's in the race, she just wins no matter what. That's definitely what I want to do.
I like it. That's a good answer.
She's a bit good. Yeah, she is good.
Yeah. What's your proudest moment in swimming?
It's difficult now. I've made the Olympic team because obviously that's probably one of my proudest moments. But probably until that, it was making the final at Worlds, just because it was totally unexpected. I dropped a lot of time to make the final. And so that was just an incredible feeling. I guess making the Olympics, I needed to do a time I'd already done. So in a way, like, I still look back at making that final at Worlds and just knowing that feeling I had was just incredible. So I'm hoping my next proudest moment will be something at the Olympics. Yeah.
What's the hardest set you've ever done?
I've probably got a few from now and some from back when I was like 12, 13, but there's one that always sticks in my mind from back then. It was like 8 200s fly mats on, I don't know, 6 minutes or 8 minutes or something. It was just
ouch.
Awful.
No active recovery or anything like that?
No, I was like, I definitely could not cope with anything like that now. As a pure, like, when you're 12 years and produce no lactate.
what about from nowadays?
There's been a few, like, Mel gets us to do these one where it's 40 25s or max off a minute, and so it's just constant one from a dive, one from a push, which on the surface, because it's 25s, it doesn't sound as hard, but when it's 40 of them and they're just constantly going, you can't ever switch off, that's really hard. And then any sets that are like, you know, 650s or 475s or max from a dive on like 4 minutes or something, where that lactate's really building up and you've got to keep going.
So that was one of Scott's favorite sessions. I hate it. I think 750s was a set we always used to do, and I was, without doubt, always guaranteed sick after number five, always. So I missed out six and then came back for seven.
Two I can do after that. It's just about hanging on.
Yeah.
Okay, and final question. If you was going on a road trip, there's three spaces in the car. You can have friends, family, or celebrities. Who would you have with you? They can be dead or alive. Just to make it really broad for you.
That's a really hard question. To be honest, based on like the past year and a half and the fact that I haven't seen my friends in like a year, I'd probably choose my uni friends, although there's four of them. We lived in a house of five, so I might have to squeeze an extra in the boot, if that's okay.
That's fine. We're not the police. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Anna, thank you so much for coming on to this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. It's been so great talking to you. Good luck for Glasgow this weekend, and good luck for Tokyo later on this summer.
Thank you. It's been nice chatting to you.
Great stuff. Very best of luck for Glasgow this weekend. And we hope that we really look forward to seeing how you go, actually, especially after the swims at Europeans. What was it, 2 weeks ago now? And hopefully with it being morning finals, it fully prepares you for the racing in Tokyo as well.
Yeah, that's definitely like the main goal, I guess, of Glasgow, is just the process of getting up and practicing our protocols before in the morning. So
yeah.
Great stuff. Well, that rounds up this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. If you haven't subscribed already, please do so on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts from. It's free and it helps us out greatly. Dan, we'll be back next week with another episode. I'm sure we have another guest lined up. We'll sort it out.
Hopefully we haven't sorted out yet, but fingers crossed. Yes, please. That'll be nice.
And we will see you all in 7 days.
And we'll catch you on the next one, guys.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.